Welcome to Red Meat, a collection of the tastiest tidbits from Odyssey's conservative news talk radio stations across the country. Today, we're going to start with Joe Biden and theories about who kept him out of public view to cover up his sickness and possible dementia. And then we're going to discuss activist judges and whether the left is using them to try to put Donald Trump behind bars. Let's kick things off with the Annie Fry Show. Take it away, Annie.
I have a poll up right today, and I want to ask you, since you brought it up, is Joe Biden a victim at all?
No. He's not. And because when he has moments of clarity, he should confess to the American people. But what he does is he doubles down. The View, which is a horrible show where people go to throw their career away. And when they asked him the question, he should have said, yeah, I'm not what I once was. And it was my arrogance thinking that I could turn it around. But his wife jumped in and no. So even when he has moments, he put himself, that's kind of always been his thing. He mattered more than the American people. He wanted to be president no matter what the cost was. And it was a pretty, you ask any of those families of those Afghan soldiers, of our soldiers that lost their lives in Afghanistan. Yeah. You ask anybody who's lost a child or a loved one from a murderous illegal alien who should never have been here in the first place. What if they think Joe Biden's a victim?
Yeah,
I think the answer would not surprise a lot of us. No, he's not a victim. Quite frankly, the whole talk of cancer, is being used as an excuse for not finishing the speaking tour. And I'm afraid, they're going to, I don't wish cancer on anyone, obviously, it's a tough disease, but to sit there and try to use that as the reason why he was off, to try to cover up more, to try to offset the little secrets that we already knew in these books and stuff, is I think just as criminal as the behavior that we saw from whomever or who's ever was running the government, because he clearly could not function. And those who made those decisions on Afghanistan and the border need to be held accountable legally.
No quarter from Tyrus on Joe Biden. So we're speaking with Will Chamberlain right now. I want to get to you here in a second to ask about the implications of what might have occurred during the Biden presidency. I do want to ask you, and I don't know how much you've dug into the story of the two innocent people who were gunned down essentially because they were Jewish by a person who yelled "Free Palestine." Is that connected to the LaMonica Ivor thing? I don't know. But we have created in the United States a place where some sort of ideology trumps all levels of common sense, and has, in these folks' minds, they've been radicalized to think that law and order doesn't apply to them. I'm wondering what you think about that situation in Washington, D.C., and what might happen next.
Yeah, it's an extension of kind of Luigiism, right? If, you know, this is similar to the Luigi Mangione thing, a cold-blooded murder.
Yes.
For a political purpose. and that's not going to get stopped without unbelievably forceful and aggressive prosecution. And I think also one other thing to consider, especially in that regard, I think the way to punish that movement and that person is to ensure that his political cause doesn't succeed. His political cause is disgusting as well. This effort to, you know, basically force Israel to suffer from terrorism and ultimately be destroyed itself. I think you can look at this guy as an extension of, and it's all part of a broader left-wing movement against, not, you know, against capitalism, against Jews, and against white people. It's all unified into one thing. The same people who are chanting free Palestine and accusing Gaza of genocide will get furious if you suggest that what the South African government is doing to the Afrikaners is genocide, even though those people are just getting murdered and having their land expropriated them because of the color of their skin.
So on point. Will Chamberlain speaking with us right now. So, you know, one of the things that I heard highlighted earlier today, one of the first executive orders that the president signed was to bring back the death penalty. That would that apply in the instance of this situation with these two innocent staffers from the Jewish embassy?
I believe so. I mean, I don't know the exact statute, but I'm pretty confident there's effectively a federal hate crime murder statute that says if you murder people for, you know, political reasons to influence the foreign policy of the United States or something, that's a terroristic murder. And that, you know, any federal murder like that can lead to a death penalty charge. or a death penalty sentence. I think it's absolutely appropriate in this case. And I just hope this guy gets prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. The only thing that really worries me is that maybe there's like a Luigi fan or something, like, if you know, that's on the jury and hangs it. But I just I'm confident that under Pam Bondi, this Justice Department will not stop until this guy is rotting in a jail cell awaiting his death sentence.
Yeah, Bondi did say today that he will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. So I hope that that's what we end up seeing. I want to shift into the, you know, there's tons of political fodder over, was Joe Biden actually the president? Was he Weekend at Bernie's? People have been calling this Weekend at Bernie's long into Biden's term of being president. This is not a, oh, he has cancer, maybe things were off. But my question is, our YouTube poll today, is Joe Biden a victim? I don't know what the capacity of his mental state was the entire time. Was he completely managed the whole time? But I have to think that there are people who are culpable, who are involved in making sure that the status quo stayed the same. Is there legal peril in front of these people for what they may have done during the Biden presidency?
Possible, right? I think the legal peril would stem from essentially the fraudulent wielding of executive power. So if you could prove that, for example, they signed something with the president's name that the president was not aware of, that's a very challenging thing to prove, and it would probably require admissions from a number of people involved. And also the problem is, you know, it seems like it would almost require testimony from Biden himself to say, I didn't do that. Hmm. And the problem is that testimony wouldn't be reliable because Biden is non compos mentis. So I would say, theoretically, yes, right? Theoretically, you know, improperly wielding the powers of the presidency without the president's permission would be fraudulent, would cause some kind of criminal liability. But proving in a court of law is likely almost impossible.
So I think we spoke to you when the auto pen stuff, that story kind of came out, like, ooh, could the Hunter Biden pardon be negated? And your response was like, so impossible to do what you need to do to prove that. Potentially that's not a likely outcome here. But what I do hear you saying is that while maybe that auto pen usage, what was done without the president's actual knowledge, if you can't necessarily undo that, that there still could be consequence for the people who perpetuated it.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, it's a really interesting problem. I'm about halfway through the Tapper Thompson book on the subject of Biden's presidency. And there's a lot of people who are already talking in that book. I think it's worth reading, you know, even though obviously Tapper is doing a bit of it to cover himself, you know, there's some of that. The book itself does contain new information that I haven't seen elsewhere, and new reporting about what was going on internally in the Biden White House. And it's pretty clear that there was the way that Tapper and Thompson describe it is a Politburo, like a group of about five people. Biden was one of them, but Steve Ricchetti, Tom Donilon, Ronald Klain, and Bruce Reed. These are three out of the four longtime Biden aides who've been in with him for decades. And Ron Klain had been with him, went to Obama and went back to Biden. But they were sort of collectively making decisions. It wasn't clear where the accountability was coming from. They were all able to effectively speak in Biden's name. And, you know, there's a lot of discussion about that. So the idea being that it's conceivable that you might get enough evidence about how particular decisions were made, especially if maybe these people turn on each other. Who knows? But we might see some truth come out of that. And you can tell there's also, reading this book, you learn about there's some deep resentment among Biden people themselves and among Democrats towards this Politburo. For example, one story is told that Tom Donilon, who is this core White House advisor, Biden wanted him to go to the campaign to help him win in early 2024. And Donilon told him that the price was $4 million. And that's a shocking number in campaign dollars. Like, it may not seem big in like CEO money, but campaigns are unbelievably financially constrained because they can only take especially in hard dollars, because they can only take $2,300 from anybody. So, you know, the campaign manager on the national Biden campaign was only making $300,000. And Donilon wanted $4 million.
Did he get it?
He got it.
He got it.
Oh my gosh.
Gosh.
Yeah.
You say people should read the book. I hear people saying, like, don't buy the book. Don't subsidize what Jake Tapper is doing here. But you're saying that there are enlightenments. You know, people have said to me, too, that are kind of trying to cover for Biden a little bit in my personal life. They're like, you know, all presidents have people helping them make decisions. No president just goes to work and makes all the decisions themselves. What's the difference between Donald Trump being surrounded by people like Stephen Miller, maybe, you know, Steve Bannon, who might have his ear, or some of these other folks, his kids, influencing how he might think on something? What's the difference between that and what Joe Biden was doing?
Well, there's no doubt about who's actually in charge. And moreover, that Trump is at the moment perfectly capable of being in charge and running the organization, perfectly capable of rejecting the advice of his advisors. He's clearly, you know, he's doing press conferences routinely. He's regularly talking to the press. He's not hiding. One of the big things that the other revelations from the book that I'm reading is that, you know, from between 23 and 24, at one point, the Biden campaign was going out there after the disastrous debate. And they were trying to get cabinet members and other prominent Democrats, legislators, to go out on TV and be like, he's fine. I've seen him. He's fine. And they'd call these people up and they'd be like, well, I haven't seen Joe Biden in over a year. So how do I know that?
A cabinet member.
Cabinet members. Right. Like they hit him. They hit him. He was just hidden. You never saw him. And so nobody was willing to go out there and put their word on it. After the debate happened, that's not Trump, obviously.
No.
So I think, you know, is Trump, you know, it's interesting. You watch Trump now and you watch maybe some of his speeches when he was like in his 40s. And it's clear he's not as on top of it as he was in his 40s intellectually. Like he's just not. But like that's the natural decline of human beings, like, you know, from your intellectual prime in your 30s and 40s to like when you're kind of older and wiser. You're not as analytically quick, but you can still capable of doing things. That's not what the Biden problem. Biden was actually dementia and not true cognitive decline.
Last quick question for you, Will Chamberlain. In your experience of reading the book, as much as you've completed so far, do you think that Joe Biden understood Joe Biden's limitations?
No, I don't. Wow. I do not think he understood his limitations. I think in some abstract sense, he knew that he wanted things to be working during the day and didn't want to be like up and at him in the evenings. He knew he probably had lower energy, but man, his memory was failing. He was sundowning, you know, and then in 23, 24, I mean, it was what we saw in that debate, which was a guy who is just slack jawed and not capable of being the president of the United States, not even remotely close.
Man, lots to be seen yet from the revelations in this book. And Will, we appreciate your insight on this. There's so much going on and you always give it to us straight. Everybody is commenting how much they appreciate your directness. And we do as well. Thanks, Will. We appreciate you.
Rich Zeoli at WPHT Radio thinks a lot of people beyond the direct Joe Biden administration are responsible for propping him up and keeping him in office. Here's more with Rich.
More than anything, the cover-up of Joe Biden's senility, it's infuriating. It really is. It's infuriating to me how many people are now acting like somebody should have let us know. I heard Whoopi Goldberg on The View actually say, why wasn't anybody telling us that Joe Biden had lost his mind? Excuse me, we were. And we were told that they were cheap fakes and deep fakes and that we were cruel and we were mean. And when Joe Biden was shaking hands with the Invisible Man and having tea with Churchill, and we would point that out, we were told, you're just making this up. This is the best version of Joe Biden ever. Go F yourself. And woke Howard Stern, this guy, man, he's so pathetic. To think about how many people were at one time part of Howard Stern's audience and then voted for Donald Trump. So, which tells me I don't know who's left in Howard Stern's audience. I really don't. Other than celebrities and their minions, I guess, who, because the guy, he's a sycophant and a suck up, and he's a parody of what he once was. Literally, he's the guy that now will have the president of the United States of America, Joe Biden at the time, in studio with him and feed him an hour of softballs and tell him how great he is and how he's America's grandpa as they try to rescue him and rescue his campaign. But if you want to know the truth, why it is that Joe Biden was taken out of the race is because Joe Biden couldn't win. It was not because he was senile. If these people believed that Joe Biden could win, they would have kept him in the race 100%. They only took him out of the race because his numbers had cratered. Think about it. Go back. COVID is over. Businesses are reopening again. Jobs are coming back online. Everybody's making money again. Joe Biden becomes president and they start spending trillions of dollars we don't have. Inflation soars. The Fed's printing money like crazy. And then you have the war on energy. They kill the Keystone XL pipeline. They stop drilling. Everything that happens. Prices skyrocket. Inflation's through the roof. They tell us it's transitory. Don't believe your receipts. Don't believe what the cash register's telling you. And people are unhappy. And then in an overwhelming majority of Americans are saying America's on the wrong track and America's going down a crazy liberal road. Progressive kookery running amok. Men are women. Women are men. I mean, it's just crazy town. And they knew the guy was going to lose. And that's the only reason they took him out of the race. They did not take him out of the race because they were worried about the fact that they had a president who was senile. In fact, they would have kept him in the race. And being senile would have been an advantage because all the people who were actually in charge, and there needs to be an investigation. And Senator John Cornyn of Texas is now calling for an actual probe into Biden's decline. They would have loved to have kept that comatose cadaver in the Oval Office while they just signed things with his name on it and released horrible people back onto the streets and signed executive orders and had and just whatever they wanted to do. Remember, one of my Zeoli axioms to you is that the Democrat Party would rather lose with someone they can control than win with someone they can't. And in 2016 and 2020 and 2024, they never allowed the Democrat primary voters to actually have a real choice. They were told who their candidate was going to be. And then they all tried to circle the wagons and fight to save Joe Biden. And now that all these people are writing books and getting rich off this, and they were acting like, oh my gosh. Well, do you remember the time? I remember this very clearly. Say 2 years ago, I got blasted by somebody for saying that what Jill Biden was enabling Joe Biden to do was elder abuse. Let's cue up cut number 8, please, because there's a woman named Sally Quinn, very famous Washington insider. The Democrat side of the aisle, of course. Big Washington insider. You know, Sally Quinn is like the who's who of D.C. and the Washington Post and yada, yada, yada. I remember when we were saying on this very show and others, we were saying that this is elder abuse, what they're doing to Joe Biden. And people are like, you're so mean. You're being ageist. Remember that? I said, it's not about his age. It's nothing to do with his age. It's the fact that the guy's lost his friggin' mind. And he's shaking hands with dead people, invisible people. He's not there anymore. And he's also a corrupt SOB. But now it's fashionable now all of a sudden to say that, just like it's fashionable now to say that Joe Biden was senile, even though we were told that was cruel and that was mean. And, you know, and if you made comments about the fact that he was falling up the stairs of Air Force One, that you were part of the problem. And that you were engaged in cheap fakes and deep fakes and you were lying to people and you were just being mean. Well, now it's fashionable to also say it was elder abuse to allow Joe Biden to run for office. And that Dr. Jill Biden engaged in elder abuse. Now it's just totally kosher to say. Cut number 8.
Well, honestly, I blame Jill Biden for this. Jill Biden is his wife. And if Jill Biden had stood up and had gone to him and said, Joe, you can't do it. And if you do, you're on your own. I'm out. He wouldn't have run because he couldn't have done it without her support. And, you know, she clearly was in favor of his running. And I just think it was a terrible disservice to the country.
Yeah. You wrote that letter to Jill.
Yeah, I did.
Around the time of the debate.
Well, I felt sorry for Joe Biden because I didn't think she was protecting him. She wasn't protecting him from himself. And after that hideous debate, right after the debate, they're in the spin room and she got his hand up and they're victory, victory. We won. It was great. Right. And the next day he's off in North Carolina and making a victory speech. I thought, what were they watching? I thought it was just elder abuse, really, what they were putting him through.
Yeah.
So now you're allowed to say elder abuse. You probably at one point were blasted for saying that about Joe Biden, that this was elder abuse. I guarantee it. Because we were all saying it. And we were saying it before the debate. See, that's the other part of this that frustrates me, is that longtime Washington Post queen Sally Quinn, you know, the talk of Washington, the belle of the ball, saying elder abuse when we were all saying and getting blasted as being meanies and being cruel. But she says it after the debate. We were saying it before the debate because we saw with our very eyes what they were trying to hide. And that's because of the debate, like I've always told you, was a setup to show America Biden's cognitive decline, the fact that he was senile, not because they were worried about him having the nuclear codes. It's because they were worried he was going to lose, and they knew he would lose because his poll numbers were in the absolute toilet, and they had to roll the dice and put Kamala Harris in as a Hail Mary. Because Joe Biden could not win. And if Joe Biden was polling at 60%, Joe Biden would if Joe Biden could have won, he'd be the president right now. And nobody would be out there talking about the fact that the president is senile. I want you to understand that point, because it's a really important point to make. They would have not had a debate in June if he was polling at 60% or even in the 50s. If it looked like he could beat Donald Trump, they would have done one debate in October. They would have loaded him up with whatever the hell they gave him at the State of the Union address to make him sound comatose. And they would have pumped him with B vitamins and Red Bull and maybe some of the cocaine that the dogs had sniffed, if there was any left. And then they would have then proceeded to do a gigantic Hollywood production, bringing in Steven Spielberg to make it seem like the president of the United States was functional. And then they would have just hidden him and ran the country. And you'd have a president right now who is fully senile, and none of this would be coming out. Understand that. None of this would be happening. None of these books would be written. None of these people would be going on television. And we'd be back to, if you say the president is senile, or that it's elder abuse, that you're being mean, you're being ageist, you're being cruel. Let's understand that point. Because this was it only done because Biden was losing. There's a story today that I read, written by a lefty columnist, and it was all about that exact fact. And they said, is it really a cover-up if everybody knew? It's a cover-up because everybody knew and then lied to us about it because they thought Biden was the only guy who could beat Donald Trump. In other words, they knew as far back as 2021 Biden was senile. They knew in 2020 he was. That's why they hid him in the basement the entire time and told everybody it was because of COVID. Well, he's just trying to be safe and careful. No, it was a carefully scripted campaign because it was all about power for these people. That's all it was, just purely about power. And if in the and by the time 2023 rolled around and Biden's numbers were so low, they knew they had to get him out of the race. And that's when David Axelrod and the Obama people started their efforts to get him out of the race. But make no mistake about it. If they thought Joe Biden could win, there would be no book called Original Sin that's out there right now. Sally Quinn would not say what she's saying. It'd be an alternate timeline. You know, like in the Back to the Future movies when, you know, all of a sudden, like, this happens and you go, whoa, why is Biff out here waxing my car? Because it's an alternative timeline. And that's what we would be watching. And right now, we'd all be saying, I'd be saying on the show, the president is senile, and I'd have to listen to all these people tell me how mean I am to talk about the president of the United States that way. No, so then they had to do this last-minute Hail Mary to just try to maybe get Kamala Harris across the finish line, but they couldn't risk an open primary or an open convention. So the Democrat Party was told, this is your candidate, even though she was horrible. And these are the horrible ideas, and they lost. But they had to try something at that point. But please, do not think for a second this had anything to do with about the fact that they were worried that this guy had access to the nuclear codes, because it's not that. It's not that at all. Here is here's Jake Tapper telling Sam Harris that Biden's aides struggled to detect his decline because he always seemed cognitively weak. Because he always did. Because you know why? Because the guy was senile as far back as 2020. And that's why they hid him in that campaign. And people shame on Jake Tapper and these other people for not exposing this earlier. Cut number 9.
Known of him since the 80s. And he's always been gaffe prone, long-winded, says inappropriate things. Like, that's always been him.
Yeah.
And so
smelling people's hair. I mean, who knows what's going on?
That whole creepy little section was its own thing.
Yeah.
But that's always, so that some aides said to us, that during this era when the non-functioning Biden would rear its head, 2019, 2020, and then he would show up more and more, non-functioning Biden, that they weren't sure what was going on because A, he was old, and that just happens with older people. They lose a beat. B, he was always kind of prone to some of this behavior, even when he was in fighting form, you know, long-winded, pointless stories, and forgetting names and such, gaffes, lies, all those things. So that, again, that doesn't exculpatory. That's not exculpatory, but it is by way of understanding, like, the complication of trying to figure out, wait, what a second, what exactly is going on here with this guy?
Yeah.
The media could have gone back in 2020 and 2021 and wrote about all this, and they didn't because they wanted to get rid of Donald Trump. But it's the same thing why they covered up the Hunter Biden laptop. Same thing. I mean, they could have written about the Hunter Biden laptop and how it exposed Joe Biden's corruption, but instead they told us it was Russian disinformation, because the media is not the media. They're broadcasters who are paid by corporations to spew nonsense to advance a political agenda that makes their masters happy. And that's what they do. And I got to listen to these people now, these liars. And, you know, I'm bravo to Brett Baer for calling out Delaware Senator Chris Coons, who was part of the lie. He knew exactly how bad Joe Biden was. He knew exactly how Biden had lost his friggin' mind. And yet he went out there and lied to everybody about this. And now he's acting like, oh, you know, I saw it the whole time and I was trying to warn everybody. No, you weren't. And Brett Baer confronted him. Oh, and by the way, you know, I always tell you the media, they get their talking points of what they have to say, and they say the exact same thing. The word of the day today is ambush. And there's a little montage that Western Lensman put together of all these people in the media using the exact same word, ambush, to describe the president's meeting yesterday with the president of South Africa. We'll get to that. But here's Brett Baer. Great job by him on this. Cut number 11.
This is what you said right after the debate in June 27th.
He is engaging. He is capable. But the core question is whether what you saw in those few moments of the debate and over much of the arc of that 90-minute debate was someone having a difficult night or someone who is no longer up to the job. He wouldn't be running if he weren't confident he's up for the job.
Obviously, you dropped out shortly after that. Senator Coons, do you regret some of those characterizations that you made in those times?
Brett, I was surprised by what I saw the night of the debate.
Oh, stop it.
I hadn't had a previous experience like that with President Biden. Ultimately, several weeks later, he decided to drop out. And frankly, rather than looking back and relitigating the timing and the decision, I think we should be looking forward at how we can come together and confront the challenges facing our country at home and around the world.
Yeah, definitely. We want to put time to that. But since all these revelations have come out, have you rethought about your framing, your thinking about your analysis of his mental cognitive ability?
Brett, I don't think it's a new story that Joe Biden is a seasoned senior leader of our country. It was probably the most covered story of 2024, questions about his age. I don't have questions about whether he was capable of being an effective president. Ultimately, he did not run again. And in the end, I think he made the right decision.
Can we stop with this nonsense that it was the debate and that's what opened up everybody's mind to this and their eyes to this? Can we stop with this lie, please? I'm so tired of this lie. Well, the debate, I mean, that night, I mean, my gosh, what we saw. Can we stop? That was Joe Biden every other freaking day. But we were not allowed to acknowledge it. Well, I mean, we were, but you know, we, the collective we, were not allowed to acknowledge it until they, the collective they, said it was okay for you to acknowledge it. And then at that point, everybody was like, oh, my God, did you see what happened on that debate stage last night? Oh, ho! Even the night of the debate, they're like, oh, my God, can you believe how bad this guy is? And I told you before that debate why they were doing the debate in June. It's because they wanted to show everybody how bad Joe Biden was to get him out of the race. Because you don't do presidential debates in June. And now I got to listen to these people go, oh, you know, up until that debate, I thought he was great. I had no idea. And then I watched that debate. I'm like, oh, my God. It's like, what? Give me a break. It's like, you know, oh, until I saw Jar Jar Binks, I thought the first three Star Wars movies were fantastic. What? No, we all saw them. They were terrible. And Jar Jar Binks was awful. It wasn't until Jar Jar Binks, I thought they were great. Like you cannot keep this lie going that the debate was this big eye-opener for you. I'm really getting sick and tired of hearing this, and I'm hearing this now from all these people in D.C. and in the media and all these other people who are like, the debate was, a Wednesday night? But Tuesday, Joe Biden was fine? And just the debate, like, oh my God, I can't believe what we just saw here tonight. It'd be one thing if the guy had been in a cave for 6 months and he hadn't come out. And like, this is Joe Biden's return. Where's he been? It's like when Iron Man comes back. They're like, oh my God, Iron Man, where's Tony Stark been? Well, he was in a cave in Afghanistan, you know, building the Iron Man suit. He's like a totally different guy now. He wants to stop making weapons of war. He's totally changed. That could be understandable if it had been the president was missing for the first 6 months of the year. We didn't know where he was. We hadn't heard from him. He was gone. He was kidnapped. Like if this was a movie where the president had been kidnapped and then he goes on the debate stage and then he does that performance, everybody goes, oh my God, I cannot believe this guy. He's got dementia. He's senile. Do you see what I'm seeing? Then I could believe that. And I go, well, yeah, that's not your fault because he was kidnapped and well, you didn't hear from him for 6 months. But if the debate was Wednesday, on Tuesday, that was the same exact Joe Biden. I remember they tried to lie and go, oh, he had a cold. Yeah, it was a stuffy nose. He had a little bit of a sniffle. Give me a freaking break. I am so tired of these lies by these people who think you are dumb and I am dumb and we're all dumb. And we need to investigate these people because they are all liars. Here's Jake Tapper now telling us that Robert Herr was intellectually honest in assessing Biden's cognitive decline. After the Robert Herr report came out and the media told us Robert Herr was mean, how dare he say these things about Joe Biden? It was so mean of him. Now he was intellectually honest. You see how it changes on a dime? Cut 12.
Classified documents.
Justice Department officials who first saw the Herr report before it was released read it and thought, oh my God, Joe Biden broke the law. Because that was Herr had three basic conclusions. Joe Biden, without question, mishandled classified information, but he couldn't get to, he couldn't get a conviction because he would appear so sympathetic and old, a well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory, to a jury, and therefore he wasn't going to bring charges. That enraged both sides, but our reporting is that this was really an intellectually honest argument. He came to the conclusion Biden did mishandle this, but Biden seemed so addled in that in those 5 hours of interviews that they did.
Yeah. And now that the book is out and everyone can read through and see, you know, what happened and especially the day by day after the.
Yeah. Let's go back to a montage of the leftist media attacking Robert Herr. This is from our friends at Newsbusters for editorializing his concerns. Now, some of the people including in this little montage, many people, Jim Acosta, Molly Jong Fast, Seth Meyers, Jonathan Capehart, Mika Brzezinski, and many, many others. Cut 13.
Herr's assessment of Biden's mental fitness. Yeah. Is that out of bounds? Should that have been in there?
That is out of bounds. I mean, he's not a doctor.
I don't think that Herr is a good faith actor. And I think that 345 pages of that show that. I mean, he's not a neurologist, right? Herr is not a neurologist. He's not a doctor.
Mr. Herr, as far as I know, is not a neurologist or a geriatric doctor.
I found some of the language in the report a little bit gratuitous.
The word of the day in this report came out to describe the descriptions was gratuitous.
A very gratuitous hypothetical about Biden's age.
And I think the word gratuitous is generous. There was so much unnecessary, inflammatory, and partisan kind of language that was used about President Biden in there.
Do you think Herr editorialized?
Oh, he definitely did. That report needed an editor.
This kind of editorializing is unusual, peculiar. Frankly, there's just no role for it.
Herr proceeded to editorialize ad nauseum about Biden's mental acuity, delivering right-wing talking points up on a platter.
Herr was there to determine whether or not Biden had committed a criminal offense, not whether or not the president is senile. So why extend beyond his remit if it's not politically motivated?
There's a Justice Department tradition that you don't interfere with presidential elections. This seems like the height of interference. It's gratuitous.
These really
unnecessary points.
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah. Unnecessary.
That was not merely a special counsel's report. That was Robert Hur's audition tape to be Donald Trump's attorney general if Trump manages to win in November. And that's exactly the way the Democrats need to frame this. This was politically motivated, and they need to confront it directly.
These people are hideous, awful human beings. They are not journalists. They're not even in the media. They're broadcasters with an agenda who are doing the bidding of their masters. And it's pathetic to listen to. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend like the debate was the big revelation because the president had gone missing for 6 months and we just never heard from the guy and had no idea he was senile.
So is the left using activist judges and outcries about immigration reform to try to set up President Donald Trump and members of his administration for criminal charges and jail time? Tara Servatius of WORD Radio thinks so. Here's why.
Just take a listen to what she said yesterday.
Republicans were right. Democrats lost on immigration. When you look at all the polling, when you talk to people, they lost on immigration.
Yeah, she's right.
She was warning yesterday, maybe we've gone too far. You think? Nah, they won't listen to her. That's the best part. Okay, so yesterday, as I predicted, and look, they laid out on CNN, Senator Amy Klobuchar did a couple weeks ago what the plan is, that they will simply have these district Democrat judges order Trump not to deport people. Ridiculous orders. Just as ridiculous as you can go. Things Trump clearly can do as the executive when it comes to illegal immigration. And if he defies them, which eventually he'll have to do, they figure, to get these people out of the country. In other words, he'll be doing things he has absolutely every right to do. Then they will come down on Republicans in his administration with criminal charges. Obviously, they can't get Trump. He's got immunity. But they can get everybody else. They can get Kristi Noem. They can get, you know, Tom Homan, whoever they want to get, right? That's where they're going. And Amy Klobuchar laid that out weeks ago. And it took Dana Bash's breath away on CNN. She was shocked. I don't know if you remember, but she was. Here we go. Criminal contempt. That's what we're going to do. And I remember even Boasberg is saying, I'm going to just appoint my own prosecutor. Can you imagine 700 district judges, Lee, all with their own prosecutors?
That would be judicial chaos.
That would be an oligarchy. But that's what they're imagining.
Go ahead. I just want to make sure I'm understanding what you're saying correctly, which is that you believe that the federal courts, maybe a district court, I'm not sure you can tell me if the Supreme Court could even do this, should hold key administration officials in contempt if they continue to defy the Supreme Court, which I'm guessing you see.
Yes.
Yes.
That's
yes,
the way our should. Law works.
No, it's they, not. Yes. Honey. No, nope. It's not. Not at the district level when they don't even have the jurisdiction to hear the cases in the first place. Okay. So what did I say? They're going to try to arrest him. They need the B-roll video for their Trump is a dictator news coverage. Right. Of Kristi Noem, of Tom Homan in handcuffs because they're doing dictator things. Right. So I told you they are setting up. I don't know which judge is going to do it. They're setting up the arrest of Trump officials for defying them, or they're going to pretend they defied them. And sure enough, right on cue,
this judge, Brian Murphy, a Biden appointee, just got put on the court in December and he sits on the federal district court in Boston. He's very upset today, even hinting that the Trump DHS may be guilty of criminal contempt for carrying out the agenda that, of course, President Trump campaigned on, which was removing dangerous illegal aliens from the United States. Now, at a lengthy hearing today, Judge Murphy said it was impossible for these people to have a meaningful opportunity to object to their transfer to South Sudan. Well, he indicated that even 24 hours notice would be inadequate, and further, that the department's speedy removals were unquestionably violative of his earlier order. Well, and this is precisely what they did yesterday when a deportation flight of 8 criminal aliens landed in South Sudan. A top DHS official clapped back at the judge.
We are removing these convicted criminals from American soil so they can never hurt another American victim. Now, a local judge in Massachusetts is trying to force the United States to bring back these uniquely barbaric monsters who present a clear and present threat to the safety of the American people. It is absolutely absurd for a district judge to try to dictate the foreign policy and national security of the United States of America.
Yeah, this is...
Told ya. I hope they do it.
I hope they try with Tom Homan first.
Oh, wouldn't that be great to see Homan in handcuffs? You know, here's the thing. Homan is tough. He can handle it.
Oh, yeah.
He can handle it. And you know what? Homan would be having a ball.
Yes.
He's having the time of his life.
Yeah.
He is. He says his wife told him she's so happy now he's doing this instead of moping around the house. You know what I mean? So it's going to be great. This is the fight. But I'm just giving an idea of who they got out of the country, okay? These judges, who these Democrats want to hold on to. Enrique Arias Hierro, citizen of Cuba. Homicide. Convicted of homicide, armed robbery, strong armed robbery, kidnapping, false impersonation of an official. ICE picks him up May 2nd, 2025. Again, you ask, why didn't Biden do this? I don't know. Jose Manuel Rodriguez Quinos, citizen of Cuba, here illegally, of course. Convictions for attempted first-degree murder with a weapon, battery, larceny, cocaine possession, cocaine trafficking. A citizen of Laos, now a citizen of South Sudan. Hope the weather's nice. He has convictions for first-degree murder and robbery. Arrested by ICE, January 26, 2025. Don't you love how 6 days after Trump's sworn in, suddenly they can find this guy?
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
It is unbelievable. Jesus Munoz Gutierrez, citizen of Mexico, now South Sudan, has a conviction for second-degree murder, arrested by ICE, 2025. You know what? I hope these people see this and think, wow, what do they speak there, Sudanese? Maybe I should leave America before I get deported to a jungle somewhere. I could go on and on and on. This guy, Diane Peter Domach, a citizen of South Sudan, convicted for robbery, possession of a firearm, possession of a burglar's tools, possession of a defaced firearm, driving under the influence. They got him May 8th. And then on and on. Burmese citizen, sexual assault involving a victim mentally and physically incapable of resisting. Aggravated assault in a separate issue, in a separate incident. Oh, I love this guy. Kia Maya, citizen of Burma, conviction for lascivious acts with a child, victim less than 12 years of age, but, you know, got great potential as a future Democrat voter. Anyway, he was arrested by ICE on February 18th. And of course, Tuan Thon Phan, citizen of Vietnam, convictions for first-degree murder, second-degree assault. They got him May 20th. 5th, 2025, judge in Massachusetts is demanding them back. So they have rights, apparently.
Go figure.
Yeah. Absolutely. So keep it up. Keep it up. Because you know what? Jasmine Crockett, broken clock, right once a day.
Republicans were right. Democrats lost on immigration. When you look at all the polling, when you talk to people, they lost on immigration.
Oh, by the way, that reminds me of where I meant to go, by the way. Did you see this latest poll? You know what has happened? Do you remember what happened with gay marriage? My son asked me about it. So we went and pulled the polling from 2020. It was an 80-20 issue against gay marriage, right?
Right.
Like, crazy thing to push politically for the Democrats, yet they hammered it. And now you got over 60% in support. Would they do that in 25 years? They think they can do that with this. But here's the question. Okay, this is what they're doing. That's why they'll take on these 80-20 issues. But here's a question, Lee. Why can't we do the same thing? Why can't we?
That's true.
Right?
Well, maybe Trump did that with immigration.
No, he's doing it. Listen to this. Because remember before, even up until like the last Trump term, the majority of Americans, 52% did not want to mass deport these people, okay? 48% did, 52% did not. Most polls came down that way. Look at it now. This is incredible. It's a liberal pollster, and I have it here in my notes, darn it. My notes have since been buried under Marquette poll. So that's a liberal pollster. Listen to this. Where the public is right now. Deporting illegal immigrants who are living in the United States, okay? This is not criminals, all of them, right? Used to be 52 against 48 for during the last Trump term. You know what it is today? 66% for. 34% against. Mm-hmm. So we can do this too, just like Democrats do. Take an unpopular position that is the right thing and hammer it until the public agrees with us because they feel like everyone else agrees. So even when the whole Republican Party opposed him, even when it wasn't as popular in the polls, even when it was a slightly losing issue, Trump said, to heck with that. I'm changing everything. And he did. Highest numbers I've ever seen, 66% support mass deportation, criminals and regular illegal immigrants. Again, compared to 48% in the last Trump term. Now it's 66, support the deportation. Keep going. Keep going. I wonder, Lee, if Tom Homan, you know, get from the federal facility where he's in handcuffs, can he make phone calls and still run the deportation?
Yeah.
I bet they let him, right? Because Trump manages the federal facilities, right? So, like, can he work from his cell? Like, we'll just get him a laptop and a cell phone.
So instead of work from home, work from jail?
Work from jail. Work from federal holding facility. I like it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Red Meat. Don't forget to smash that subscribe button for your favorite tasty assortment of conservative audio. And follow your local Odyssey talk station to get shows from these hosts delivered daily wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, stay hungry.